This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. Despite years of progress, people living with HIV in Malaysia continue to be stigmatized by society, and that makes it difficult for many to continue receiving medical and social support to lead a quality life. But there are many grassroots organizations out there to provide that support and to change mindsets, one at a time perhaps, doing it nonetheless. And one of those organizations is Community Chakna Terengganu, and the co-founder of Community Chakna, which I'll call KCT, Dr. Mahani Nordin, was recently awarded the Sunway Malaysian AIDS Foundation Tun Dr. Siti Hasma Award 2021 as a recognition of the work that she's done with the HIV community in Terengganu. So she joins me today to share more about the work that KCT does and how we can do better to help people living with HIV across the country. Dr. Mahani, thank you so much for speaking to me today, and congratulations on receiving that award. It was in December last year, wasn't it? How did it feel to receive that award? You know, and it was a recognition of the work that you and your team in KCT have been doing.
Yeah, it is very unbelievable. So I cannot actually describe my feelings, but it is really a token of appreciation for us. Kind of inspiration for us.
Okay, so we'll find out more about, you know, what your team has been doing over the years. But take us back to when you first started working with the HIV community and how you came about to enter this area of work.
Okay, I started as Terengganu State AIDS Officer in 2008, but back then, I did not directly involve with HIV. My job scope was to review the trend of HIV and plan the programs to curb the transmission of HIV. But then, after a few months, I know that for me to effectively run the programs and to prevent further transmission of HIV in Terengganu, and also to minimize the effect of HIV on the patients themselves and to the community as a whole, I need to go down to the field and understand what is going on directly from the PLHIV themselves. So first, I started to tag along with the counsellors from Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat. I started with Kebajikan Masyarakat to learn about the high-risk behaviour. And with Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, I learned a lot about high-risk teenagers, but not exactly about drug users, who were the main contributors for HIV cases in Terengganu back then. So that was when I decided that I need an NGO for drug users.
Mm. What surprised you when you really went to the ground, Dr. Mahani, that you hadn't realized, even though you were working on programs, but you know, there's nothing like actually interacting with the communities, right?
Yeah, actually, when we go to the field, then we learn what makes them the way they are. So we just view them as either immoral, criminal, but we didn't know why they become that way. What makes them, what the hardness they have to go through in their lives that makes them that way. Mm. So that is the lesson learned for me. And that makes me realize that we have to do something in our community. We have to stop this. We have to try to minimize the whatever they have going through.
Mm. So you saw for yourself certain realities that will only be clear when you meet with communities. Can you paint a picture for us and for listeners who will not be aware as well? What people living with HIV, what the community in Terengganu especially, what were their challenges? What is the context that they're living in?
Okay, their main challenge is stigma. Of course, stigma and discrimination from the community, from the people around them, even from their family, from their nearest relatives. So that is the challenge we have to face. Mm. As we, if we want to help them, that is the main thing we have to try to help them with.
What is it about stigma from other people around them that affects them? Why was stigma bad for them?
Okay, we have for drug users, actually we have double stigma. Stigma for them as drug users themselves, because drug users was always portrayed as a criminal. And as for PLHIV also, we have PLHIV, because people are very afraid of PLHIV.
Mm.
They even afraid to eat with them, even to eat whatever they give, whatever was touched by them. So they are very afraid of HIV. So this is the stigma that we have to overcome in our community.
Mm. In Terengganu, what are the trends of HIV there? You know, back in 2008 when you first started doing it, and then sort of how has that picture changed?
Okay, back then in 2008, more than 80% of our cases, HIV cases, were among drug users, which is why I focused mainly on drug users back then.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, after I started Community Cik Anang in 2009, and we run the programs together, and then we see the trend is coming down. HIV trend is coming down, mm-hmm. and up until now in 2020, only 20% of our cases are among drug users.
All right.
And the trend is coming down together with the number of cases, which means that the sexual cases, we didn't see spike in heterosexual cases,
mm-hmm.
but since the drug users are already not detected as HIV, then our landscape is changing.
All right.
Now only 20% is among drug users.
Mm. So the rest would be sexual transmission?
Sexual transmission.
Mm. But overall, the number of HIV cases has been reducing.
Coming down.
As well, yeah.
Yeah. We used to have around 400 to 500 new cases per year.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have around 100 to 130 cases of HIV per year.
Mm, okay. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what have been Community Chakna's programs to help contribute to bringing that down. But let's talk a little bit about why has drug use also been a problem in Terengganu, pretty much a conservative state. What are the factors that lead to drug use? What are the demographics of the drug user population there?
Okay, I think for the demographic, for me, we are more concerned about why they become a drug user, mm. and how we can help them to stop using the drugs, and how to rehabilitate them back to the family or and into the community. Most of our drug users are heroin users,
mm-hmm.
which is not, of course, not accepted by the community because of the, we know the petty crimes they are always associated with, and the social problems that lead them to the drugs. I think even though Terengganu is a conservative state, but still the social problem, I think it is everywhere. Rural state, urban state, we have our own problems. So the only difference is how we tackle it and how we help them, actually. Mm.
So what were the factors leading them into drug use?
Mostly peer pressure, stress, family problems. Because we also see that if their family, they were from drug users' family, then the children are also high risk to be involved in drugs also.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are trying to help this family to cut the cycle, to break the cycle.
So when you started Community Chakna in 2009, mm-hmm. what was your vision and what did you want to achieve?
Actually, we know that to handle the drug users, we need drug users. We, as a non-drug users, we didn't know what makes them drug users. What are they going through? What is their behavior? What they expect from us, actually? How are we going to help them? We cannot help them if we didn't understand them. So we have lots of ex-drug users there who has been going through everything that our current drug users going through. They know their behavior. They know what they expect from us. So we just go by whatever they want. We try to help.
Was it easy to get the ex-drug users to join hands with you and to work together with you?
We started with few very dedicated ex-drug users. And then slowly we train them. We train another drug users from our shelter. Mm-hmm. We started KCT with only three members.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started our shelter with another four drug users, then after months and years goes by, these residents, we started to train them so that they can help another drug users to come in. So That's how we expand.
And just with 7 people on board, You managed to start a shelter. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break. I'm speaking to Dr. Mahani Nordin, co-founder of Community Chakna Terengganu. It's a grassroots organization, a community-based organization in Terengganu that's working particularly with drug users in order to reduce the harm of HIV in the community and reduce the incidence of HIV. Dr. Mahani was recently awarded at Sunway Malaysian AIDS Foundation Tun Dr. Siti Hasmah Award 2021. So we'll continue to find out more about what KCT does after the break. Stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyi. Joining me today from Terengganu, Dr. Mahani Nordin, co-founder of Community Chakna Terengganu, a grassroots organization working with people living with HIV, particularly with drug users, to conduct their programs, including running shelters and harm reduction programs. Dr. Mahani Nordin, recently, the awardee of the Sunway Malaysian AIDS Foundation Tun Dr. Siti Hasmah Award 2021, a very prestigious award for people working in the HIV and AIDS space as a recognition of the work that she's been doing. You know, Dr. Mahani, before the break, you were saying that it was in 2008, you started working in terms of planning programs for HIV, but you started then going to the ground to meet with people living with HIV. I mean, you threw yourself right into it by working with former drug users, coming up with programs for them. Now, did that invite stigma upon yourself from people around you, that they saw you actually coming into contact with people with HIV? Did it make it difficult for you?
Not actually, because I portray myself as a government servant. I went to I made the advocacy with all the agencies as AIDS officer, state AIDS officer, and I bring together with me Community Chakna Terengganu. So when I introduce Community Chakna, actually people can accept them if we are together with them. If the NGO is running alone, it is quite difficult, I think. The community is not going to accept them. They will accept, but very difficult. Mm. But if they are together with a government agency, then it is better. People will start to accept them. They will start to trust them. Hmm. So for me, I go to all the agencies, make advocacy with them as AIDS officer, not as NGO. But I bring along with me NGO. Hmm. So together, we work hand in hand, government and non-government organization.
Hmm. So Tell us about the programs that KCT started with and is still continuing to do now. And how do they help people living with HIV?
Okay, KCT was awarded a grant from Ministry of Health for National Needle and Syringe Exchange Program. So that is how we get to know the drug users. So I went together with them, do the mapping, how many drug users were there, what are they using and what they want. So that is the entry point for our shelter, actually. Then they also do the peer support program. They go down there and find what we need to do to help them. If they need referral to Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, then we will help them to refer them to Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat. If they have problems with the narcotic, then we will go and see what we can do with the narcotic, with AADK. So we went there together with them.
When you say narcotic, do you mean drug rehabilitation?
No, PDRM. Because they have lots of problems with PDRM. So that is one of the way lah. We just we went to Nakoti, all districts, and explain to them what we are doing, what we are trying to help. So they understand.
All right. So basically, you're helping the drug users to also navigate what's happening with the police, with the narcotics department, and you know, legal system and things like that.
Yes.
How does the shelter help?
Shelter is very helpful because when they want to stop using drugs, they need a place, and they cannot do that at their home because the surrounding is not healthy for them. That is where they started to use drugs
in the first
place.
So
they have to they need a new place, but it is voluntary place and free of charge. That is more important. They don't have the money to pay. So our shelter is free of charge. We accept them here as a family, to be our family, part of the family. So they did everything a family is doing. They cook, they do the laundry, they wash, they clean, and they even help us to build a new home for them. So our shelter, our new shelter, our second shelter was built by them.
I see. And I understand, I think, was it the first shelter KCT set up where it was actually you donated your own land to set up that shelter?
Yes, in 2009, because we know we need a shelter, but we don't know where to start. So I have a land, not that big, only 1 acre. And we have a fund from Majlis Agama Islam dan Adat Melayu, MAIDAM. Mm-hmm. So MAIDAM agreed to fund us. So and I have a small house there. So that's why we start small with four drug users. And then Jabatan Pertanian also helped us with agriculture. So that's what our resident was doing lah in their free time.
All right. Can you explain more about that?
Because when we rehabilitate drug users, they need to do something. They cannot just sit and eat. They have to work. They have to have something to take their mind off the drugs. So every day, they go to the field and do the agriculture. We have cucumber, we have lady fingers, short-term agriculture. We can finish the project in a few months. 1 month, 2 months, and then we start another one.
Do the results come back to them? You know, the whatever they planted and that they can sell, does it come back to them and help them to move forward?
Actually, that is kind of training for them, so that when they go out, they have the they know how to do the farming. But in Community Chakna, in our shelter, we are not giving them incentive in terms of money. But the money from the vegetable is used for rolling, for new project, and for their daily needs.
And what happens after they leave the shelter? You know, what has been your success rate in helping them to reintegrate into society?
That is one of the... we have to do more about that, because right now, we only know that when they go out, they are already accepted by their family and they can manage on their own. But if they need something, they cannot stand the community, the pressure is too much, then they can come back to us anytime.
All right. Can you share some stories of some of the individuals that you've worked with, that KCT has supported, and you know, what makes them memorable?
One of our first resident, for our first four residents, we take them a PL HIV with CD4 of only 4. We take care of him. We make sure he never miss his drugs, miss his medication, during their healthy lifestyle. And now he's already married, have children, have a family, happy family, and he is doing a volunteer works for us. Because he is one of our first residents. So since 2009, and now it's already 2022,
That's right.
He is still with us. And doing the voluntary work for us.
That's a great story. I mean, I guess there will be people who will ask, doesn't doing this kind of work make you feel afraid? Aren't they dangerous, potentially? What do you say if someone were to say that to you?
Because I have never seen them as a criminal. Because when we accept them to our shelter, we see them for who they are, for who they were before they were involved with drugs. And we see the potential in them. We see that they are also a person like us. I have never been involved with any aggressive drug users. Actually, if we are helping them, if we are together with them, we don't have a stigma for them, then they are a very good person, very cooperative. They can help them can help us with anything, actually.
What have been some challenges faced by KCT in continuing its programs? You know, has funding and financing been a challenge, for instance?
Yes. We managed till now with our rolling from our agriculture, and few other things that we have been doing. But of course, we might not be able to expand further. We can manage with 70-80 drug users right now, but to expand further, then we will need more support, more financial support, in terms of money, of course, and then maybe we have to build more buildings, because our building right now in the first shelter is only for 30 people. Second shelter for 60, and the third one is only 15. So if we want to expand more, then we will need more building, a new building. That will cost lots of money.
As does everything. What are some other challenges, perhaps?
Stigma from the early days, of course. But now we can see the stigma to the drug users outside maybe is very still there. But we can see for our residents, drug users in our shelter, they are accepted by the community. I am very proud to see that our community, the people around, have been inviting us for any occasions, for any gathering. We were together with them, helping them. And if we are doing any programs there, they will come together with us.
What do you think it will take to continue to address the stigma from the public towards people living with HIV as well as drug users?
Continuous awareness. What I have been doing is, if I'm doing the awareness program, I will go with them. So they will show I was a drug user. Now I can function in the community. That is one way. So we always show them the real model, not just the theory. We have the model with us. This is the drug user. So now they are very successful. They have a family. They can help us in the community. They are together with us in the community.
Have there been any moments where you've been really challenged and you felt like giving up? Or maybe the opposite, you know, what drives you to keep going?
Actually, during our first advocacy with the public, with the agencies, we were actually, some of us are giving, they even asked us, why are we helping the drug users? Why are we helping the PLHIV? How come we are not sending them to an island to isolate them from us? So that is a very sad moment for me because I was there with Chatna and Chatna was a drug user. So I feel for them. So actually that is very frustrating, but also it becomes an inspiration for me that I have to do more. I have to do more to help them. I have to do more so that our community will understand that these people are our children. they are our children, our relative, our neighbors. So they have gone through a very hard life.
Mm.
So we as a community, we have to help them, not isolate them.
Yeah.
So that is a challenge for me. I take it as a challenge and I go back there. I keep on going there until they understand, okay, we will accept.
Yeah.
Okay, we will.
So you managed to change their minds.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Heartbreaking also.
It is very sad, but it gave me inspiration to do more.
That's true. I mean, you're right. It is very sad to realize that people may have these attitudes towards people living with HIV, but that gives you the opportunity to change their minds, to make them more aware.
Yes.
Dr. Mahani, what are your future plans for KCT?
We will be here as long as the community needs us. But we were hoping that if we can change the behavior of our teenagers, our public, our people, then maybe we will have a better tomorrow. We have a better future for our kids. So we are here to help them. We are here. We will be here if they need a place to stay, if they need a place to rehabilitate, and we will be here to help them to change, or if the parents need us to help their kids, we will be here.
Mm.
But we as a community, we have to do our parts. If each of us do a small part, then we will have a better tomorrow for our kids, our future generation.
Mm. And on that note, how can people help or reach out to KCT or provide support if they would like to?
They can come to me or they can contact me, and then I will redirect them to Community Chakna. Because I will always be there with Community Chakna.
Do you accept contributions or donations from the public?
Yes, we do. Mm. That's how we build our new house in shelter, in our second shelter. That is from the public, the donation from the public.
Absolutely. So that's Community Chakna Terengganu, you know, continuing to provide support and shelter for people living with HIV, particularly drug users, to help reduce the harm of HIV transmission, but also to help them get back on their feet and to reintegrate into society. And I've been speaking to Dr. Mahani Nordin, the co-founder of KCT. Thank you so much, Dr. Mahani. You've been listening to Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.